From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing his series in the Book of Romans, Dr. Cairns commences the second of two messages entitled, How to Think and Live as Christians. Again, the text is found in Romans chapter 6, verses 8 through 14. Dr. Cairns has been emphasizing the importance of understanding what Paul is teaching in this chapter, for it is the secret of living a joyful, confident Christian life. In the first message, Dr. Cairns reminded us of the importance of recognizing what Christ has done through his death on the cross. Our assurance is grounded upon the perfection of what he did, and we lay hold of that by faith. Today, Dr. Cairns continues this theme as he expounds Paul's declaration that we are to reckon on our union with Christ in his death and resurrection. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Acts chapter 13 and verse 39. All that believe are justified. The believer in Christ receives a present justification. Faith does not produce this fruit by and by, but now. So far as justification is the result of faith, it is given to the soul in the moment when it closes with Christ and accepts Him as its all in all. Are they who stand before the throne of God justified now? So are we, as truly and as clearly justified as they who walk in white and sing melodious praises to celestial harps. The thief upon the cross was justified the moment that he turned the eye of faith to Jesus. And Paul the aged, after years of service, was not more justified than was the thief with no service at all. We are today accepted in the Beloved, today absolved from sin, today acquitted at the bar of God. O soul-transporting thought! There are some clusters of Eshcol's vine which we shall not be able to gather till we enter heaven. But this is a bough which runneth over the wall. This is not as the corn of the land which we can never eat till we cross Jordan. But this is part of the manna in the wilderness, a portion of our daily nutriment with which God supplies us in our journeying to and fro. We are now, even now, pardoned. Even now are our sins put away. Even now we stand in the sight of God accepted, as though we had never been guilty. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. There is not a sin in the book of God, even now, against one of his people. Who dareth to lay anything to their charge? There is neither speck, nor spot, nor wrinkle, nor any such thing remaining upon any one believer in the matter of justification in the sight of the Judge of all the earth. Let present privilege awaken us to present duty. And now, while life lasts, let us spend and be spent for our sweet Lord Jesus.
To do.
Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but you're really not sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study today.
To Romans chapter 6 tonight. Romans chapter 6. We read again the passage, verse 8 to the end of verse 14. Romans chapter 6, verses 8 to 14. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Sin, or should I say death, hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto holiness, or unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word for his own name's sake. We're completing tonight a study that we started last Sabbath evening. What we're dealing with is a very important subject for every Christian. It's simply how to think and live as Christians. I'm not selecting the subject as a subject to run with. This is part of Paul's ongoing argument as he opens up the great truth of justification as it leads to sanctification in the lives of the people of God. Verse 8 sets the whole argument in its place. Now, if we be dead, or precisely if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. The apostle saying that because we know that the Lord Jesus Christ died, and when He died unto sin once and for all. Because we know that death hath no more dominion over Him, and because we know that now He is raised from the dead and He lives forever unto God, we believe certain things. And he says we believe that we who died with Christ died unto sin once and for all. And we now live unto God in the power of Christ's resurrection. Then through the rest of the passage, he goes on to say what we conclude from all this. The truth that we take to our hearts by which to live. We conclude that what's true of Christ, of His death, and of His resurrection, is true of our death and of our resurrection with Him. Grace, he teaches here, has once and for all destroyed the right of sin to reign over a Christian, because it has taken the believer out of the kingdom of sin, out of the realm of sin, out from under the reigning power of sin. And it gives us the right and the ability to live free from the tyranny of sin in the victory of grace, in righteousness unto God, in holiness of life. What he's saying is that justification is that, and if I may be forgiven for using this big theological term, it's important to it. Justification is a forensic term. It's a term that's taken from the law courts, that states are standing legally before God. It's not a term that has anything to do with our experience. Justification is not primarily a description of subjective sensations. It is a statement of our legal position before God in union with the Lord Jesus Christ. But he's saying that that justification can never be isolated from Christian experience, because it is the ground and the guarantee of sanctification and the genuine personal experience of holy living unto God. Remember that in this passage, the apostle is answering the slander that since you believe salvation is all of grace, since you believe that the greater the sin, the greater the grace in forgiving and in justifying and in saving, since you believe that you are secure solely through the merits of Jesus Christ, and that nothing you do before, at, or after your initial coming to Christ contributes anything to your justification and your acceptance with God, since that is true, then let us sin all the more, in order that God may be able all the more to show His grace, and thereby all the more to get glory to His name. Paul is answering that slander, and he's showing that far from justification leading to that conclusion, it actually does the very opposite. When a man sees the grace of God, and he understands the merits of Christ, and he grasps that he is justified freely by grace without any input of merit from himself, far from wanting to live in sin, that will be a compulsion to live in holiness and in victory unto the Lord, because we believe that having died with Christ, we shall also live with Him. not merely in the future resurrection, though that's true as we'll see, but also in this present life. So what he's dealing here is the life of faith. The life of faith. For most people, you know, the life of faith is a sort of a strange thing. They think of it nowadays in charismatic terms, name it and claim it, or blab it and grab it. You know, that's the life of faith. Somehow or other, you know, we conjure up a picture. In fact, there are, believe it or not, there are so-called Christian teachers who admit that they have taken over from Eastern mysticism, and particularly from Buddhism. They have taken over various techniques whereby when you pray, you actually create an image in your mind of what you want. You give some objectivity, at least in your mind. Of course, that's a contradiction in terms, but forget about that. You give some objectivity, at least in your mind, and as you visualize. Visualization, that has become one of the buzzwords in modern so-called charismatism, but it's actually modern apostasy. This is supposed to be the key to releasing your faith, the key to living by faith, the key to getting things in prayer, being able to visualize. Now, I want to be very delicate in what I say. I have been practicing to express myself more clearly. I have been practicing to make you understand when I am vehement. I find that difficult to do coming from Northern Ireland. But very humbly and very quietly, I would say of that whole technique of visualization as a technique in prayer, in Ireland we would call it hogwash. You don't know what hogwash is, do you? You do? Well, we call it hogwash. Claptrap. You know what that is? Another lovely word is codswallop. If you ever get a slap in the face with a cold dead cod, you'll know exactly what that is. Codswallop. In other words, it's nonsense. It's blasphemous nonsense. And it's absolutely nothing to do with the life of faith. The life of faith is not some mystical form of wishing things into existence. Nor is the life of faith going away out on a limb. And the more out on the limb you are, the more faith you've got. Oh, the life of faith at times may take you to some place that the world may think is out on a limb. But in actual fact, the life of faith goes to the heart of the gospel. It takes the great truth of the gospel. It understands that truth. It takes its stand on that truth. And it never wavers from the central issues of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this passage, there are three main elements in the life of faith. How to think and act as Christians. First one is recognizing what Christ has done. You'll find in verses 9 and 10. We're not going to go through that all again, dealing with the death he died, the resurrection in which he rose from the dead, and the life he now lives forever unto God. But we've got to understand what Christ has done. Now the second element flows right out of that. And that is reckoning on our union with Christ in his death and resurrection. Verse 11 tells us, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The word reckon means count. It means, as it's translated in Romans 3:28, conclude. You've looked at all this truth about Christ. He died unto sin. He's alive unto God. We died with him. We rose with him. Now he says, you've got all this truth in your mind. Reckon on it. Count upon it. Think it through and make certain conclusions from it. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin. Actually, as Paul penned this, the Greek text has a strong emphasis on the ye, where he says literally, so also ye reckon yourselves to be dead. You remember I pointed out, though the form of words is different, the emphasis is the same. When he was answering this slander, let us continue in sin that grace may abound, he said, how shall we that died to sin live any longer therein? And there was an emphasis there. We of all people, how shall we who died to sin, how shall we live any longer therein? There is this emphasis on we. That emphasis arises here again. And he's saying, likewise, ye also, reckon yourselves. There's an emphasis on the people to whom he is speaking here. Think of who you are. Think of what you are. Think of what you know concerning your position in Christ. And he says, now, reckon on that. Notice the word likewise, or ye also. But think of this, and you'll see immediately that there's a direct and a definite correspondence between Christ's death and resurrection, what happened to him and those things, and what happens to us in our death and resurrection when we become united to him by faith. Think again of this, so also ye. What is he saying here? Take this context very carefully. Verse 10, in that Christ died. Remember what I said last week? The death that he died, what he died. What he's saying is, I want you to see the full impact, the full meaning of the death that he died. I want you to see the full meaning of the life that he lives. And he says, verse 10, in that he died unto sin once. Now verse 11, so also ye. You died unto sin once. Verse 10, Christ, we are told, liveth unto God. So also you, who died in Christ, you now live unto God. This is what he's saying.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.